And that's the very reason why we are talking about the sermon series, which says everything, everywhere matters. Because we want Christ to be magnified through our lives, not just on Sunday mornings, not just because we are part of some ministry of the church, but we want Christ to be magnified 24/7, wherever we are and whatever we are doing. You know, we finished a sermon series that was focused around our faith. And we tried to understand what we believe, right? And that's where we went through the Apostles' Creed and tried to understand each sentence. But we want to take a next step in thinking, okay, if that is what we believe, then what should we do with that? And that is why we are going to start a new sermon series this week, today, and focusing on the Sermon on the Mount with this exact aim in throughout this series or throughout our lives. Now, I don't have any say in the song selections. Sorry, we are jumping too many guns. Wait, yeah, thank you. That's the image that we have on our Facebook page. That's the image that we would see regularly every Sunday morning, just to remind what it means. And it means right from the start of the day to the end of the day, where we go back in our homes, at our homes, and relax and wind down and do all sorts of things. And everything in between matters. And, you know, this is my practice, and I always like to do this, that at the beginning of sermon series, I always like to say that the sermon series that we finalize or we make is not the work of one person. It's the work of the team. And the team involves Lizzie, Rachel, Imad, Helen, Graham, and as always, myself sipping my cup of tea in a corner. But it's a whole process. And the reason I'm sharing this, and the reason I like to share this, because I want all of us as a church family to keep praying for these people. Because at the end of the day, the team is not there to finalize a sermon series or make a sermon series what suits their own needs. Because we must be praying for this team and everybody else who are involved in different parts of the church life and for ourselves as well. Because we want to strengthen this church family to magnify and glorify our Lord in everything and everywhere we go. This morning, I must say that my sermon almost feels like already preached in different parts and different ways that things have been said and shared, and the songs that we have used and the prayers that we have prayed. It just feels like I'm repeating all that has happened thus far. And I must say that there was no communication in between, because when I'm away from my desk, I don't communicate. So if you ever send me a message wondering, oh, I've sent him a WhatsApp message and he hasn't responded, just assume I'm not sitting on my desk. But then the reason I'm saying that, it is wonderful to be a part of the service when God is connecting all those dots. The chapter that we have read, you know, Matthew chapter 5, is the beginning of Sermon on the Mount, which continues to chapter 7. And that's the passage, or that's the portion that we would be covering during our sermon series. And as we started our service with the Beatitudes, Beatitudes that talks about who we should be in Christ. And then there is a passage of salt and light And then the whole story or the whole sermon continues. Can we please go on to the next slide, Helen? Thank you. And then when we go to the next slide, starting from verse 17 to the end of verse chapter 7, which talks about, therefore, how we should be in this world. And this passage of salt and light is the reason why. Why? Because we are the salt and light. But as always, before I share what I have to share this morning, I would just like to open this space again. If you have anything specific to share about this passage that you think, oh yes, when I was thinking about this passage this morning, this is what I would like to share. Please feel free. Again, sorry, just to restrict our comments, keep it focused on the passage and something that's relevant for us this morning. If you'd like to share, please do let me know. And I'll come to you. Burn my calories, few calories. Yes, Margaret, tell me. Is it something relevant to this passage?
Yes, it is. One of my friends from Larkfield, she just lost her friend by the child. And Frank said, how many lives you got? I said, only one.
Yes, and we should use that life to be a salt and light in the world. Thank you, Margaret.
Sorry, can you still leave the name of the salt that you need?
I'll come back. I'll come to that. I'll come to that. That's fine. Yes, great. You're saying summary.
Oh, well, it's about that word light. Salt. I was reading something only the other day about like something dreadful that had gone on in our society, and there was a real shock horror about it. And then it turned it on to Christians and saying, you know, you get so shocked by this, but where is the salt? Meaning that we are meant to be rubbing alongside people, sharing God's love, you know, his influence in this life. So it was saying, rather than be shocked and horror, ask the question, where is the salt? And for us to be that salt, that light. And yeah, anyway, so.
That's the reason there's a question, where are we? See?
Salt's a preservative.
Yeah, we'll come to that, yes. Any more? Anybody else wants to say?
I don't know if anyone else is asking this question. I mean, I'm just sitting here thinking, how can I be salt when I look at my track record? It's not very... Maybe it's salty in the wrong sense. But I'm comforted by the fact that it's Christ that deals with that, or has dealt with that on the cross, and deals with that in our lives. And it's not a matter of stuff that we do. It's the person he makes us. And that's the comfort, because it's his spirit, it's his power that makes the difference.
Thank you, John. Any more? See, it's interesting, when you ask people to speak, everybody goes quiet. Sorry, I'll just grab. Suddenly yesterday I realized I'm having a cold. So sorry for that. So this morning we are looking at Matthew chapter 5 and Sermon on the Mount. And in that passage, Christ says this to his disciples and to us, that we are the salt of this earth. Now think of this. We are sitting in that crowd of people who are listening to what Jesus is preaching. And he goes on to talk about Beatitudes. And he says, blessed are you when you are persecuted. Blessed are you when you are that the world would mock you and persecute you. And you're sitting there thinking, oh, if that's the case, why not create our own community? you know, a separate community. Let's be in the world but separate, so that we are not very much part of the world. Let's create our own space where we are safe, where we are able to worship the Lord, and therefore then we will not face the world. And even before this thought finishes in your mind, Christ goes on to say, so, you are the salt of this world. Don't think sitting there, because you follow me, you can live a separate life. But you are the salt of this earth. Now, this both things, salt and light, for us, it is difficult to understand what it actually meant for them, to a degree, what it meant for them. You know, for us, salt is a small item on our table, in a salt shaker, to add a bit more of salt without commenting on your wife's cooking, if it's not good. Or maybe a jar in the kitchen where we have a salt and we add that when we are cooking. But for them, salt was a lot more than that. Salt was not just a small thing on the table. You know, we are talking about the era where people had no refrigerators, where there are no walk-in rooms, where they would freeze their meat and all the fish that they have caught throughout the night to keep them safe. One of the important use of salt was it was a big preservative. And everybody was aware of this fact. And every people would have been habitual, those who are in fishing, those who are fishermen or worked in a meat industry, they would knew that, okay, we need a bag of salt to make sure that we keep this meat properly and restore it, save it so that we can use it, preserve the meat. And that was rather a more important use of a salt for them than being a small thing on our table. But one of the aspects that always caught my attention in this passage is how can salt lose its saltiness? You know, I'm not a scientist. But I was reading about this and it says it is almost impossible for salt to lose its saltiness. So what is Christ saying then? Now please don't say, oh, because Christ said that is not something that is not possible, therefore the whole Bible is wrong. No. You know, in order to use the salt to preserve the meat, it was important that salt is in a good form, that it is not mixed with other impurities, that there is no dust and there are no other elements in that salt, that when used, rather than preserving the meat, it would spoil it. I don't think so we would take a salt that is mixed with sand and keep it on a table and serve it to our guests. Say, oh, if you would like to have a salt, please have this. If we have kids in a house who have mixed salt with sand, what we would do that with that salt? Throw it away. And that's what they exactly did. Whenever they found a salt, oh, that's not good, fit for the purpose, they threw it off. And therefore then, they knew what exactly Christ is talking about, because if salt is not fit for the purpose, we cannot keep it there for thousands of years hoping that one day it will get clean on its by itself. No. Throw it away, because we cannot use it. And this image for them was very, very clear. Coming to the other aspect of light in this passage, I think when I was reading this passage and I was reading about city on hill, you know what came to my mind? Ely. I think we are in a way very good place to really understand this passage. I'm not sure what is the furthest point that you can see Ely from. What's the furthest place that you can look there? Oh, that's Ely. If you're coming from Cambridge and cross Switham roundabout, just after a bit, you can see Ely at night because of the small tower. It's about 4.5 miles. I don't know if you're coming from Sutton. How long?
You can see it the other side of Sutton, the road towards Chatteris, which is probably 7 miles, 8 miles from
here. And you can see it from the road going between Burwell and Swaffham. You see it on the skyline.
Oh. See?
If you go up to the tower and clear day, you can see as far as Bulldogs, so they must be able to see us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, but they have to see us back again. That's fine. See? Yes. But that's the point. See, for us, light just takes the darkness away. But for them, light was their GPS system. It was showing them the directions. If someone asks me, okay, I need to go to Littleport, what's the direction? I might go back in that time, I would have told them, oh, you know, you see that city on the hill, you know, with that big light? Okay, turn left from there, and then you would go towards Littleport, if that's right. I'm really bad with my directions. I get confused with left and right. Sorry? Yeah, which way you're coming from. So whatever way I'm standing at, from there it's left. Let's go with that. And that was the concept of light for them. It was not just, oh, we really don't understand the aspect of darkness. Because we constantly live in the world that has lights in it. You know, when we were kids, we used to have load shedding. So the aspect of load shedding, if you don't know this, is during summer when the usage of electricity is too much, they used to cut off the electricity supply for different areas to just make sure that the equal load is shared so that people can use electricity. And therefore then, that was a fun time for us, especially if it was happening during our study times. Because who can study in darkness? The only option for us to do is to run outside and play hide and seek. Because you can hide in the darkness. Oh, and we had so many funny stories about it. But darkness. Sometimes, or many a times, in darkness, if you're not really sure, you can really get stuck to a thing that's right in front of you. You would like take a step and, oh, there's a table there, or there's something on the floor there. You would not know what that is. Till the time you get hurt by it, or you get obstructed by it. Darkness. It just blocks your vision. Even if our eyes completely see, you know, I got my eye tested a few years ago and the optician or the one who checked my eye said, oh, my eyes are so good that I can fly a plane. But very next day when there was a power cut, I couldn't see what's right in front of me. Darkness. It just blocks what we need to see. It just blocks what is right in front of us. And we don't get this aspect of darkness, but people of that age and time knew what darkness is. Because they never had rechargeable torches. You know, they had to look for oil, they had to look for different items they can use to burn and walk, or maybe at times they just walked in the darkness and used some guidance. So for them, both of these elements, both of these aspects, meant completely different to what we understand, the way we understand them in the modern times. And therefore, when Christ told them that you are the salt and you are the light, they exactly knew what Christ was telling them. My dear church family, as someone who believes in Christ, we are not just a small salt kept in a salt shaker to just add a bit of flavor. We are not just a light that takes away the darkness, but our responsibility in this world is a lot more bigger than many a times we assume. You know, now these are very familiar passages. Not that we have read this for the first time. But my question this morning is, where are we? Are we hidden under the bowl? Where nobody can see us? Are we like a salt thrown away because we are unfit for the purpose and people are walking all over us? Where are we? We are called by Christ. We have experiences of Christ. We know, I think, if we sit relaxed and given 10 of hours, because if I say, oh, if you have a testimony to share, I know we'll have to wait for a few hours before someone starts speaking. But if we give a relaxed time, we all have experiences of Christ here. The whole point, we are here this morning because we know that God loves us and we want to worship Him for who He is. If you're sitting here this morning thinking, oh, if I go to worship and then something good will happen in my life, I'm sorry, that's not the scheme that God is running. But we are here this morning to worship Him for who He is and what He has done for us. And that is to save you and me from our lives, from our sinful lives. And to us, Christ looks at us and says, you are the salt and the light of this world. So whatever you have experienced, that needs to go out. You know, this morning I want to talk about three Sunday school songs as three things that I would like you to remember. We are the salt and light, and yet many a times in our lives, we are like a light that is hidden under the bowl. Many a times we go out, be at our workplaces, be in our common circle of friends or different places, and many a times people might not even know that we believe in Christ. Or they might just know us as Christian and that's it. They never heard a word more than that. They have never heard what it means to go to a church. They might have never heard about what it means to be in fellowship with one another. You know, one of my struggles recently is this. The science has really developed well. Science has given a lot of good names to different personalities and a lot of different aspects. And we have liked them and we have taken those and we have identified ourselves, oh, that's me. Be it an introvert, extrovert, outspoken or whatever, different aspects of life. And we said, that's me. And we thought, oh, that's a comfortable shell for me. That's me, and therefore anything that's outside this side and outside this side, I cannot do it. Why? Because this is who I am. This is my personality type. You know, it says, according to science, according to the psychologist, according to their observations, if I'm an introvert, for example, I'm not blaming because I myself am a great introvert if you talk with me. I cannot do that. You know, I really don't know when to shut up because I'm really extrovert. I just need to talk. I just need to be out there with people. This is what I need to do. Oh, these things I'm not really comfortable with. You know, I really struggle with this. You know, we believe in God. The song says, my God is so big. So what's the right word? My God is so big, so strong and so mighty. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing that He cannot do. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing that He cannot do. Go ahead, say it, for. God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's not. No, no, it's fine, yeah. See, I'm not a singer type, so. But I try to sing. But we sing this song. I almost want to say, we should start singing this song saying, my God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing that I cannot do through him. And this is not my word, this is what Paul is telling. My dear church family, we are the salt and light of this world, and yet many a times we feel comfortable hiding like this. Yes, you can see me and you can see me. But we believe in God and we sing songs about our God, and we have experienced God who has done so many great mighty things in our life, and yet when it comes to us we think, oh, that's not me. I cannot do it. My dear friends, we are called to serve the Lord wherever we are. The activity of serving God is not officially an official appointment of the minister alone. If you all come to me one day saying, oh, Sat, you are our minister and therefore you should go and evangelize and therefore you should only talk about God's word and therefore you should only serve the Lord, I would say, sorry, that's not me. And I've been very carefully telling right from the day one, I'm the lazy one. Because it is our responsibility. For it is for each and everyone, wherever we are. You know what? Sadly, ministers don't have many opportunities to go out and share God's word than you all have. Because you all go during the week and meet different people. Maybe on the bus, during the supermarket, on your workplaces, your colleges, wherever you go, you meet a lot more people than a minister can. My dear church family, whenever I look at these stories and the real life stories of missionaries, I feel ashamed. You know, we have so many great stories of people who have traveled to a distant land and spoken and shared about God's love. I would always say this. William Carey came to India, and all the way from the UK, and he translated the Bible in the language that I can read in India, in Marathi. Why? Not because he was fully sponsored. Not because he was fully helped in everything that he was doing. In fact, BMS, or the Missionary Society then, was not in agreement to what he wanted to do. But he was so convinced that God wanted me to do this, he traveled to India. He opened his printing press. He translated Bible in Indian languages. During that time, he had to lose his family because they couldn't adjust in Indian situations and all that stuff. But he didn't come back to India thinking, oh, that's enough, God. See, I came to serve you. You took everything from me. I'm going back now. I'm going to live in my own country. No. He served. Why? Because he got the message that I am the salt and light of this world. I am not saying that that is the call of God for each and every one of us this morning, that we all must leave everything that we are doing and go to different places. But open our eyes. Trust in the Lord. Because our God is big, strong, and mighty, and he would help us to do things that he wants us to do. The second song that I want to sing, I want us to sing this morning is, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking right at you. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. And then the song goes on to say, oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. Oh, be careful, little... Sorry? Feet where you go. And all those things. You know, the passage says the salt that loses its saltiness is of no use but to be thrown away. And if we are not careful in our walk with the Lord, we would become that salt that needs to be thrown away, because it is not fit for the purpose. You know, trusting in the Lord for who He is, and at the same time, making sure that we are walking with our Lord daily. Otherwise, we all have things in our life, aspects in our life, that when we look at the Bible tells us, oh, that's not right. That needs to be kept away from your life. My dear church family, oh, be careful, my church family, how we live. Because Father up above is looking right at us. For each and every one of He's looking at each and every one of us. So that we would be a salt that is fit for this purpose. A salt that allows and helps people, help people see. Sorry, my mouth is really going dry. Help people see God's truth. And preserve that truth in the world that is busy creating its own versions of truth. Sadly, the world doesn't believe in the truth. The world believes in a truth, because everybody has their own version of truth. Lastly, I don't know if you know this song. This is a song that we've seen on YouTube. This little light of mine, I want to let it shine. This little light of mine. This little thank you. Let's use this one as of now. Thank you. The world that we are part of, the world that we live in, has so many things that we can talk about and say, oh, that's not right. Oh, that's not right. Oh, that's not good. That's not good. They should not do it. This should not happen. That's not right. You know, this doesn't show love. This shows a lot of hatred. This shows a lot of enmity and all that. We can talk about so many different things. But in this world that is full of darkness, my dear church family, we are that light. Not hidden under the bowl, but something like a city of Ely that can be seen from far. And people would know, oh, that's Ely. That's where we are heading. That's where we should be going. And that is our life, my dear church family. As we start actively thinking, or continue to actively think, that everything everywhere matters. That matters because we are the salt and light of this world. Not because we are special. Not because we have achieved a lot of things in our life. Not because we are righteous. Not because we are holy. But just because God loves us. And we want ourselves to make available for the Lord. Just last thing I would share and then I'll close. As a preparation for my sermons, I listen to a lot of different things. And I was listening to a podcast about who can be a good evangelist or something on that line. And I thought, oh, that would be an interesting podcast to listen to. That was by Keswick Ministry, if you know them. And I was listening at that. And I liked really, I really liked almost on the line what they said. There's no qualification to be an evangelist. It just needs a willingness to share and show and speak of God's love. And interestingly, they quoted Talking Jesus. They said, you know, research was published a few years ago, Talking Jesus. I said, yeah, we know that very well. A small invitation. A small approach. Just keeping your opinion. Yeah, you believe that, but this is what I believe because this is what the Bible talks about. That's how we can be a salt and light. So as we begin this sermon series, as we continue to think about our lives, let's continue to ask God to be who He wants us to be so that we can become salt and light as He has told us. Let's pray.